Now let's stand for the gospel lesson, Matthew 6, 24 through 34. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Do not worry. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store any in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. As you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the fields, which is here today and tomorrow and is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all those things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I'll give you the latest update, and then we'll move on. Some of you have asked about the talented grandchildren of mine and how they did in the Irish dance competition. My grandson came down with a fever the night before. He didn't participate at all, and I really felt badly for him because I think he could have done quite well. My granddaughter participated in 9 events and placed in 8 of them, either first, second, or third. She was just really spectacular. Of course, I'm prejudiced. And I happen to have some pictures to show you. And Carolyn sends her best wishes. She's enjoying Germany at this point in time. So Mr. Ruff and I are left alone. Yeah. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord God, for bringing us together for your holy word. As we study it this day, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A new pop song swept the country 2 decades ago. It was a brand new song. First time an a cappella song reached number 1 on the Billboard 100 Top Hits. It was a simple little song. The music and the lyrics were written by Bobby McFerrin, and it first appeared in the movie Cocktail, and the song was, Don't Worry, Be Happy. I love that song. Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. It's a great song. Today, however, when you take a look at the world in which we live, I don't find too many people singing that song or anything similar to it. Don't worry? You must be kidding. Be happy? What do you mean by that? Pay your money and take your choice. Soaring oil prices. Man, barrel of oil is pretty high commodity these days. And gas, too, moving towards $4 and $5 a gallon. Oh, my golly, is it going to happen this summer? Well, we'll see. Some places it's happening already. Bankruptcies rising, home prices falling, airlines forced into mergers. The Iraqi war continues. And yes, the other thing that really got to me this week, I don't know if it got to you, it may have gotten to some of your pocketbooks. It's really gotten to me, though, the hoarding of rice. Now, I'm not going to ask how many of you are hoarding rice, but I just have a very simple question. What are you going to do with 300 pounds of rice in your basement? How long do you expect that to last? A long time. Well, there's self-help books out there to sort of prepare us for worry, for this kind of season of malcontent. And there's one, Stop Worrying and Start Living. I like that title. Spiritual Vitamins for the Warriors, or the Worriers. How to Trust More and Worry Less. But I love this title better than any others. I think I may run out and buy this book. How to Cope when you're as worried as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. That doesn't sound like a bad book to get a hold of. Go to the pharmacy. You're going to find a whole lot of medications on either side of the counter to help you deal with anxiety and worry and stress and tension. There are prescriptions to calm you down, and there are prescriptions to pick you up. There are prescriptions to help you go to sleep, and then there are prescriptions to help wake you up the next day. There are prescriptions to ease your stress and your fears and to return life to some semblance of normalcy, because we don't feel very normal in this day and time. And while some of us may grow older, more mature, gracefully, there are others of us who say, not on my watch am I going to grow old gracefully. I'm going to be the best I can be and look the best that I can for as long as I can. Worry about getting older? I'm not getting older. Andy's wife, I don't believe we have an Andy who has a wife in the congregation. I had to search to make sure. Andy's wife refused to give in to the growing older look, if I might say. A sort of a change in appearance, ever so slightly, mind you. And so she goes out to buy a brand new expensive line of cosmetics. But let me tell you about this line of cosmetics. It's guaranteed to make you look years younger. Now, I would be inclined to run out and buy some of that if I were you. Well, she bought this wonderful, wonderful supply. And you can't buy just one thing, because you have to put on one layer and then another layer, and you smooth that over with a third layer. She bought it all. And she sat before the mirror applying the miracle products. You know, ladies, it takes somewhere about 30 minutes to 4.5 hours to do that. Applying all these miracle products. And she asked her husband afterwards, she said, darling, honestly, if you didn't know me, what age would you say I am? Boy, I don't know about you guys. I'd hate that question to come to me. Well, he looked over his beloved wife very carefully, from head to toes, before he responded. And then he responded accordingly. He said, judging from your skin, I would say a 20. Ooh. And as far as your hair is concerned, an 18. Whew, this is pretty good. She's just really feeling wonderful. And he said, even your figure, I'd give 25. Wow, was she ever excited? And she walked up to him ready to give him the biggest kiss she had given him in a long time when he said, hold on there, honey. Just hold on just a minute. I haven't added them all up yet. Now, I did. It comes out to 63. That's not too bad if you're 78. It is if you're 42. Don't worry, be happy. Wait a minute, we object. What do you mean, don't worry, be happy? The matter is, as far as I'm concerned, we can't stop worrying. We're always worrying about something. In fact, James Moore writes in a little article, Can You Feel the Good Side of Worry? says we cannot stop worrying because God has put within us a certain amount of worry energy and anxiety energy. We all have worry energy naturally within us. It is a part of our basic makeup, and it's there for good reason. Now, perhaps he's right. Maybe we're all just going to worry. I mean, after all, if we never worried about our children, we would be terrible parents. And we all know that. We worry about our kids. If we had no concern for our community or our state or our nation, we'd be pretty lousy citizens. And if we never worried about our job, we'd be looking for work today. And if we had no concern about our church, none at all, then where do you expect it to be in the future? And if I didn't worry about a sermon this week, you'd get out early. And what fun would that be? And to our objection, Jesus responds very simply, don't get distracted. Well, I'm putting words in his mouth, but the idea is there. Don't be distracted. Because when we spend all of our energy chasing our worries, we may miss the things that are even more important than those things we're worried about. Have you ever thought of that? We usually focus on the silliest, mundane things. Oh, sure, we have deep-seated problems we worry about, but we worry about the trivial sometimes more than we do the important. Let me give you Jesus' words for it. I think it's pretty clear. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink or what you will wear. Why? Because life is more important than food, and the body more important than clothing, and you are more valuable than the birds of the air. They don't sow, they don't harvest, they don't put anything in their barns, they don't store anything up, and yet they are cared for by your heavenly Father, and so are you. And so are you. And worry can rob us of our vitality and our ability to think straight. You know that as well as I. When we're deep-seated in worry, we can't think clearly at all. It can deplete our energy. It can deplete our strength. And we can become like the worry cow. Have you read that little ditty about the worry cow? Who would have kept on living, but she lost her breath because she thought her hay wouldn't last all day. So she mooed herself to death. Don't chase your everyday worries without an everyday God at your side. That's what the message of the gospel is. Your everyday worries, don't try to deal with them without an everyday God who's right there with you. Don't worry. Be happy. Well, we object again. Look, Lord, we feel sort of normal anxiety from time to time. And to be honest with you, Lord, I don't know why we should feel guilty about it. Why should we feel guilty at all? I mean, it's just the way it is. After all, normal worry sort of causes us to take preventative measures against problems. And sometimes it even energizes us. It energizes us in a way to make constructive changes in the way we live. So what do you mean, don't worry, don't be anxious? I mean, we put a lot of time and energy into worrying about all kinds of things that might happen. We do that. And life itself provides us with a cornucopia of possible problems, real and imagined, about which we can spend so much time and energy. What do you say about that, Lord? Do you have any words of wisdom that can guide us? And from 2,000 years ago, we get some insightful ideas? Oh my. Why did he have to ask us this? And the Lord asked, can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your lifespan? Do you get that? One single hour. Let's see. If I live to be 86, 360 4 days and 23 hours. Would all my worry and all my anxiety add one more hour to that? It's a rhetorical question that Jesus asked, because he expects you to say no. But why would we say no unless we know for sure? Let me provide one possible answer, a little scientific inquiry. A scientific study was done some 40 years ago in which 7,000 students at UNC, the University of North Carolina, 7,000 students at UNC were given the Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Inventory. Some of you have taken that time and time again. I think I've taken it probably 3 or 4 times in the last 25 years. It hasn't changed a bit during that time. I keep going downhill. It's a fun thing. It's a fun experience to take, fun thing to do, a fun inventory to be a part of. The text measures, among a whole lot of other things, whether you have a tendency toward optimism or pessimism, whether you're going to be an optimist or a pest. It has a tendency to do that. Of that particular group of 7,000, 1,630 were found to be pessimists, clear pessimists in everything they did. 923 were optimists, and all the rest of the study group fell in between those two extremes. Over the next 4 decades, nearly 10% of that population in the study had died. And by tracking and collating all the information, researchers found that the pessimist had a significantly greater likelihood of dying sooner from any cause than did the optimist. From any cause. Not just heart attack or anything, but from any cause. They died sooner. And while pessimism and worry are not identical, they are both related to a shortage of hope and trust. They are both related to that. Both can lead to despair and a sense of hopelessness. Have you been there? A sense of hopelessness. And neither of these will add 1 hour to your life. Here again, Jesus is not telling us that we can't live life in its fullest. But he's saying that there is more to life than one. Sowing and reaping and toiling and spinning. If that's all there is to life, you've missed it. And focusing on them alone will wear you out, and it'll keep you from being the lilies of the field that you were called to be. You don't need to be weeds in a garden. You can be lilies in the field. Don't worry. Be happy. But again, we object. We know the things about which we worry really matter, Lord. They really matter. And the answer to Jesus to that comment is quite to the point. Strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Why does he have to be so much to the point? You see, the issue is not, does God trust you? The issue that we deal with is, do you trust God to be with you and to struggle with you in the most critical moments in your life? Abraham Lincoln once said, and boy, his words were right on target, "I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go." If nothing else, our times of worry and stress and anxiety can bring us back to God. And we need that, the source that can free us. More than a century ago, a young man by the name of George Matheson entered Glasgow University, a wonderful institution of higher learning. He had a keen mind, and his hopes were high, and his future was glorious, and soon he and his fiancée were going to be married. What more could a person have? I mean, the world is filled with grandeur and excitement, explosive in nature. He dreamed of a bright future, but then all of a sudden, the bottom dropped out of the basket. You know what? You know the story? He lost his eyesight completely, went completely blind. And because of his misfortune, Matheson was rejected by his fiancée, who said she couldn't marry a blind man. Had nothing to live for. Have you ever had that happen? He had no future. One person in his life he loved more than anyone else in the world was no longer there. He was devastated and afraid and worried and worried. And he turned to God. And God was there. And he reached out in the darkness and found the love of God and the compassion of God that is always there for us. And he put his thoughts in verse, which gives us a wonderful hymn of affirmation. We're not going to sing it today, but you know the words. O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depth its flow may richer, fuller be. The answer to our worries, to our anxieties, to the world in which we live in today, the frustrations that we have, is a God who will always be there for us and see us through the troubling times and the worrisome times in our lives. And so realistically, if you want to be honest, we can leave here today and say, don't worry, be happy. In Jesus' name, amen.